Well, you press that. Hold on.
I'll take roll call. Member Grunbeck?
Here.
Member Kestner?
Here.
Member James?
Here.
I want to welcome everybody here. This is the inaugural first CUNA City Park Impact Fee Committee meeting. So it probably isn't going to take too much time, but some things we want to go through. You guys, roll call. So you probably know most everybody in the audience. Again, I'm Richard Rhodes, city attorney, and Gordon Law over there, the city engineer, will be working probably hand in hand with the members to try to get things rolling in this. In the packet, you were provided a statute. That's the guiding statute for us out of Idaho code. And then the ordinance will be drafted from that I'll start working on with your guidance. It's important to take a look at the statute 678205. And that discusses the Development Impact Fee Advisory Committee and your duties that start down there at 3A and go down. I will be available at the city at any time to answer questions, those type of things. We've got probably a lot of stuff to do in getting the initial setup and our goals outlined and moving forward. So you'll have the statute to look at. I also, in the packet that was given to you today, prepared, and I'll discuss that in a little bit, but has some procedural things for making motions and conducting the meeting. And again, if there's any questions, I'd be happy to answer those. My thought today is to provide that information to you, have you take a look at it, and then at the next meeting we can answer those questions instead of spending time just running down those things, because I'm not exactly sure or familiar with your involvements with previous processes for committees and that type of thing. So I will now turn it over to Mayor Greg Nelson for his discussion. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Well, good evening, committee. You just don't know how many years it's taken us to get this done, and this is one of the probably the most important things we've done in a long time. This gives community a way to establish parks and pay for them. We never had that before. You just had to take whatever we had in the general fund that we could kind of rob, and then we'd put heat on developers and what have you to have them try to donate some land to us. So this actually will build a reserve that we can actually go out and purchase ground. It'll lead to bigger parks, more amenities for families, and some great things for CUNA, and we need those things. And so we're looking very much forward to working with you and having you start putting together some recommendations for parks. Part of the things that, that we had to do prior to selecting a committee, we had to do an inventory. If you read the statute, it's really a pretty complex way of handling it, and it's directed by the state at us, so we've got to fulfill all those obligations before we appoint a committee. So you might want to review that, and all of the elements have been taken care of. One of the things that is really difficult for a small city is that inventory and how much parkland per individual in town versus how much parkland with expansion do we need and what have you. And a lot of that formula was put together by the person we had with the High Five grant that was looking at our parks over and making recommendations for what we could do to better take care of our kids. And so some of that was done for us by the High Five Grant, and I guess we'd have to thank Chris for that because she got that grant. And it's been very, very helpful to us. And this is just the latest edition of things that are going to occur that will help us a great deal. So we always need more ball fields, we always need more parks, and there are some other things that we're looking at only now because we can't look at them. So anyway, you're kind of on your own as far as making your recommendations, but I think the statute sets you as fairly independent, but not too independent. So anyway, you kind of figure that anybody from CUNA, we know exactly about where we're at and what we kind of need. So anyway, I wanted to just welcome you, not bore you. So thank you for being here, and thank you for being on the committee, and we're looking for great things.
Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you.
Thank you.
One of the driving thoughts behind this, when we started to discuss creating this, was a realization that when we have these subdivisions go in, oftentimes they create what we call these little pocket parks, and usually they're small 1 acre or so things that have maybe one swing set or another amenity in it. As time goes on, some of these pocket parks, the homeowners association has been responsible for maintaining those. They've decided that it's too expensive, or they don't use it anymore, or and they've tried to give them back to the city, or give them to the city, or not maintain them type of thing. So we get these calls. So the thought was, how can we put parks in communities within CUNA that are useful to more than just that small subdivision, or oftentimes in that subdivision, 4 or 5 homes that abut the park and nobody else really has access to it. So that's how we started with this. The concept and idea is to pick some larger areas to develop some parks with those amenities. As you know from the swimming pool rec district vote, there's a fair number of people in the community that support these amenities. It'll bring more people in and make it a desirable place to come. Next on the agenda then is the selection of the chairperson, and I'm not sure we have one person is not going to be able to be here tonight, and one person is unable to participate, so we're going to look at somebody else. So did you want to select a chairperson today, or maybe pass that to the next agenda meeting?
I was just going to say, what do you mean by someone isn't able to participate? You just mean one person isn't going to be able to make it, or?
One person is out today,
right,
and the other person that said that they were interested has had a situation come up, so they're not available.
I gotcha. Okay.
And we're going to replace that person?
Yes. Okay. There's somebody interested in that position also.
I suggest we wait.
Okay. And we'll move that then to the next agenda.
Can I have that in a motion, please?
Pardon me?
Can I have that in a motion, please?
Yes.
I motion we hold off on electing chairperson until next meeting.
And I second the motion.
All those in favor, say aye.
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 Motion passes.
Procedurally then, as I mentioned earlier, in your packet, there is two documents. The first one is just a committee meeting procedure, kind of guide you through on how we will run the committee meeting. If there's any suggested changes or so to that, certainly we'll entertain those and make those changes. That's just a guideline. The second one is the making of the motions and those type of things in running it. If you'll take an opportunity after the meeting to look at that and then we can move these along, that would be appreciated. As I said, my intent today is not to run through those line by line or item by item. We can certainly do that at a time if there's questions. Chris is going to put these documents in a file, bound file for us, so we'll have access to them at the meetings. That's what I have. I will now turn it over to the engineer if he has any comments.
Let me just introduce some concepts that you're going to be working with as we progress on this impact fee ordinance. First thing I want to, I guess, teach or whatever we want to call it, is that an impact fee ordinance has sideboards on it. By state law, there are sideboards to what impact fees can be collected, how much can be collected, and what they can be used for. One of the most significant sideboards is each city uniquely provides a level of park service to their residents. Impact fees cannot be used to create a higher level of service than is presently in place. Now, there's a bunch of different ways to say that, but I would certainly like you to ask questions to make sure we understand this basic principle. If we have a level of service, we cannot use impact fees per se to create a higher level of service. But what they can be used for is to maintain a level of service. Now, any of you want to ask any questions about that? Because that's the key thing that has to be understood here.
Do we have a current level of service?
One of the things and one of the processes that the committee will need to go through, in which the mayor has already mentioned has at least in part or maybe in whole been done, is to identify or characterize the level of service which the city presently provides. And an example, so you can understand physically how this works. If we have a certain number of acres of park or park-like facilities within the city that amounts to, say, 3 or 4 acres per 1,000 in population, we cannot use impact fees to create 5 or 6 acres per 1,000. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Now, what that really means is that you're going to have to end up with, when all this is through, a team setup where impact fees carry their legal portion of the load of maintaining service, while the city general fund and other sources of revenues, if you want to increase the size or level of service which is being provided, the general fund has to carry the rest of it. What you're doing is identifying what that present level of service is and then creating a capital improvement plan which maintains that level of service as we grow and residents move in. If you, and cities often do, create a capital improvement plan in which projects are partially funded by impact fees and partially funded by general fund, because the intent of most cities is to become better, but impact fees can only be used to maintain. So you have to work as a team with the city general fund. Now, do you want to ask any questions?
Is there a level, is there a portion currently of the general funds being used to maintain the current level of service that can be redirected?
There is. Okay. There is. Now, let me read the statute so that you can see where this basic sideboard is coming from. I think I'm on the fourth page of the state statute. It's near the top, item number 2. A development impact, are you there?
Yes.
Fourth page. Item 2, near the top. A development impact fee shall be calculated on the basis of levels of service for public facilities adopted in the development impact fee ordinance of the governmental entity that are applicable to existing developments as well as new growth and development. The construction improvement, expansion, or enlargement of new or existing public facilities for which a development impact fee is imposed must be attributable, that's the key thing, attributable to the capacity demands generated by the new development. So, I've said it one way, the code says it a different way, but the net effect is the same. You cannot increase the level of service through the use of the impact fee. You can maintain the level of service. Okay?
Understood.
Now, preparation of a capital improvement plan. With that sideboard in mind, then the process is identifying a series of capital improvements to be constructed over a period of time and a cost for those that can be attributable to new development and the charging of the new development for the cost of maintaining the level of service. So you'll establish a set of improvements or capital improvement list. There will be a cost for those improvements, and the portion of those improvements which can be attributed to new development without increasing the level of service can be established in the impact fee. Okay? Now, another process that will have to be done is that the methodology for calculating the impact fee must be clear enough and specific enough so that when you receive non-typical development, that they have a chance to look at the basis on which the fee was calculated and call into question if they think the fee does not logically apply to them to the extent that the ordinance may have suggested it should be. Now, what that means is a development. Let's take a typical single-family residential development and compare it to an assisted living facility. Now, you may have 100 homes in a residential subdivision and 100 units in an assisted living development, and you may typically charge a development fee, a standard development fee for each dwelling unit. But now the assisted living facility has the privilege of making the case that they really, everybody's using walkers and can't use the parks. Get the picture? So we have to be clear enough in our methodology that somebody can logically come in and see whether they fit the program and to the extent that they fit the program that was intended by the development fees. I actually consider that these issues are matters of fairness, quite frankly, and I think the statute tried to impose those, and sometimes we get the idea that with impact fees that you can create or raise the level of things or imply them to people that don't benefit from them, and there's a certain amount of unfairness in doing that, and the statutes put sideboards on that sort of stuff. Now, those processes of creating the methodology by which the fee is calculated, creating the capital improvement plan, and understanding the sideboards is really the grit that the committee will have to work on. And of course, you rely on staff to do some of the heavy lifting in private, but the committee will be the face of what needs to go on. I will stand for any questions you might have on these particular items, and I'm through with my presentation other than that.
All I don't have any questions, Gordon.
Thank you, Gordon.
Thank you.
I hope Gordon didn't scare you off. I was going to wait till the second. We really talked about the meat and potatoes of it after we got you to sign on the dotted line. The next item on the agenda then is probably the most important, and that's setting the meeting schedule, how often we want to meet and what day works best for you guys. Again, having two seats vacant, we can wait on this too, as long as we set the next meeting, if that's preferable, or if you think that we can do that now, whatever is your choice.
Is there any anticipation of a general time frame that these meetings should be? I mean, obviously, if we get into a deep discussion, it'll need to go longer, but is there a desirable time frame?
Hour, half hour?
Yeah, is there, I mean, something that's appropriate for us to be able to do our work?
Yeah, I anticipate that the first couple of meetings may take some time. As Gordon indicated, we've got the capital improvement plan. We also have to have the ordinance adopted. So there's a lot of work in those two things before we really get down to the fun part of spending the money. It may be a couple hours each time. It may be that, you know, staff will do most of the drafting and present it, and we can talk about it. So I think a couple hours. I can't see that we're going to want to go late into the night.
I'll just offer to the other members, I am not available on Monday or Wednesday, and typically Tuesdays, it's either City Council or Planning and Zoning, which will definitely make my availability limited. So Thursdays are great.
Member Stubbs recommended the second Thursday of the month. Even though he wasn't able to be here, he did pass that information on, so.
That works for me.
Yeah, I'm not going to try and juggle with my kids' schedule, so let's pick a night. It's
try and make it work.
Yeah, exactly. Thursday sounds fine.
Thursday. Yeah. And how about a meeting time to begin? What works best? 5:30 work good?
I'd prefer 6 o'clock, but how about you guys?
Yeah, 6 o'clock would actually work better for me also.
Yeah.
Does that work okay?
Okay. I was pushing for earlier. Early in, early out.
Early in, early out.
Whatever works for most folks.
Maybe late out, early in. Do I have a motion for that? Set the meeting times?
I'll make a motion that we schedule our meetings on the second Thursday of each month at 6 p.m.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion passed.
All right. You guys have any questions?
I have one quick question, which is, can you just set, so for example, at our next meeting, what's the timeline for developing the ordinance? Is that something that's going to happen quickly, or like, and then we would review it? Just a general idea of when that will.
Do you mean how much time it's going to take to get you a draft, or how much time it's going to take till we finalize it?
How much time to get us a draft? Actually, maybe both.
Hopefully you'll have a draft at the next meeting to start looking at. Don't know on the capital improvement plan. As you'll see in the code, there's a provision there that there can be a tax assessment to pay for that. As Gordon indicated, the first part of that, and the mayor is indicated also, there's that park study that was done by the High Five. That's only part of that capital improvement plan, so it's hard to say on that how long that's going to take, but I'd like to get the ordinance drafted into you to start your review, and then the capital improvement plan tracking somewhere closely, because those things have to be done before we can really start our work.
And then another question I had, and I had mentioned this at our initial meeting about, can you just update me on, I think you mentioned the comprehensive plan is currently being refreshed, is that true, or?
It is. I think we're ready on the current one. We're trying to get it now. We're working on some area of impact issues to get it before the Board of County Commissioners to sign off on it. We may then, somewhere down the road, the planning director, Ms. Howell, has suggested perhaps a rewrite of that, but that'll be down the road. But hopefully within a short amount of time, we can get that done, because we really need to get it done for a lot of reasons. But I can't anticipate how long it is, because it's not really going to trigger until we get this area of impact line agreement with Meridian.
That was all my questions. Thanks.
Okay.
Could I clarify that? It'll be November 12th.
The next meeting?
The next meeting. Because the second Thursday is also next Thursday. But I wanted to clarify that we were going to November 12th.
Or for everybody? Yep.
I'm okay with that. If everybody else is,
that's fine. Yeah.
That's all I have. If you don't have any questions, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
I motion we adjourn.
A second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Motion carries. Thank you very much. I look forward to working with you. And again, I'll be available here at the city for any questions you may have.
Great. Thanks, Richard.
Thanks a lot.